Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Alan Gawicki, one of the ruling elders here at the church, and the providence of God has brought me here before you this morning. I would much prefer that Mr. Reverend Miller was here doing this, but from Psalm 149, verses 1 and 4. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us and for you calling us into your presence to worship you. You do not need us, but you have called us to be here. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And help us to bring your word to those around us through our actions, through our words, and through the way we live. We ask these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Turn with me now to Ruth 4. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." The closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, because if I would jeopardize my own inheritance, redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was a custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today." All of the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. And may you achieve wealth in Ephrath and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram Abinadab, and to Abinadab was born Nashon, and to Nashon Salom, and to Salom was born Boaz, and to Boaz Obed, and to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse David. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's turn in our Bibles, or our hymnals, to the Confession of Faith, or the Confession, the Westminster Confession of Faith on Good Works. And we'll just read it together. "Good works are such as God hath commanded in his holy word, and not such as, without the warrant thereof, are devised by men out of blind zeal or upon any pretense of good work, of good intentions. These good works, done in obedience to God's commandments, are the fruits and evidences of a true and lively faith, and by them believers manifest their thankfulness, strength, their edifying their brethren, adorn the profession of the gospel, stop the mouths of the adversaries, and glorify God, whose workmanship they are, created in Jesus thereunto, that having their fruit unto holiness, they can have the end eternal life. Their ability to do good works is not at all of themselves, but wholly from the Holy Spirit of Christ, and that they may be enabled thereunto, beside the graces they have already received, there is required an actual influence of the same Holy Spirit to work in them to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yet are they not hereupon to grow negligent, for if they were bound to perform any duties unless upon a special motion of the Spirit, but they ought to be diligent in stirring up the grace of God that is in them. They who, in their obedience, attain to the greatest height which is possible in this life, are so far from being able to supererogate, are to be more than God requires, as that they fall short of much which in the duty they are bound to do. We cannot, by our best works, merit pardon of sin, our eternal life at the hand of God, by reason of the great disproportion that is between them and the glory to come, and the infinite distance that is between us and God, whom by them we can neither profit nor satisfy for the debt of our former sins. But when we have done all we can, we have done but our duty and are unprofitable servants. And because as they are good, they proceed from his Spirit, and as they are wrought by us, they are defiled and mixed with so much weakness and imperfection that they cannot endure the severity of God's judgment. That standing, the persons of believers being accepted through Christ, their good works also are accepted in him, not as though they were in this life wholly unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight, but that he, looking upon them in his Son, is pleased to accept and reward that which is sincere, although accompanied with many weaknesses and imperfections. Works are done by unregenerate men, although for the matter of them that may be things which God commands, and of good use both to ourselves and others, yet because they proceed not from a heart purified by faith, nor are done in a right manner according to the word, nor in a right end, the glory of God, they are therefore sinful and cannot please God, or make a man meet to receive grace from God. And yet their neglect of them is more sinful and displeasing unto God. Let's turn to James. James chapter 1, starting with verse 19 to 27. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our Lord God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are a wicked and undefiled people, a hard-necked or a stiff-necked and hard-hearted people. We do not deserve to be allowed into your presence. We deserve your judgment. But you have called us through the blood of your Son to be your people. You have allowed him to pay the price of our sins and to be able to stand in your presence. And you desire us to be there. Help us to be worthy of that calling. We pray for our government. May it truly be a minister to us, a protection and a blessing to us. We ask that you would guide those that are in power over us. Protect us from any evil that they might do, and guide them and protect them from your wrath for the evil that they do. We think of the churches in our city that are gathering to worship today. Guide their worship, bless it. May they truly speak your word that your people might learn. We think of our brother in Sutton, that he might be lifted up as he brings that church your word as well. Father, we think of our city as well. We have elections coming up. We ask that you would guide the people that need to be there to be elected. We know that You are the one that is in charge of our leaders. There is nothing that is out of your control, and you are bringing the leaders to our land that we need, or that you need us to have. You know the goal of your will. Help us to be submissive to it. Father, we do pray for those that are elderly in our midst. If I tried to name them, I would miss some, so I will not. But we do constantly lift them up. Let them know that you are caring for them. We say this in Christ's name. Amen. I have my exhortation printed out here because I'll wander too far off track if I don't. The title is On Redemption and Good Works. What does the marriage of Ruth and Boaz have to do with those subjects? The Lord's providence has brought my ponderings to you this day. This exhortation could have been on the subject of providence, but redemption and good works impressed themselves on my mind as I dug into this chapter. And I ask you to think about the primary example of redemption and what makes good works possible and how to apply it to the Old Testament. It's been a few weeks since I spoke on Ruth 3, so I desire to refresh your memory of where we are in the story. Naomi has returned to Bethlehem, bitter with the way the Almighty has dealt with her, accompanied by her widowed daughter-in-law Ruth. Ruth has gleaned faithfully through the barley and wheat harvest. Boaz has made provisions for this gleanings, and that's based on Leviticus 19:9, 23:22, and Deuteronomy 24:19. And allowances for aliens and strangers in Deuteronomy 33:33 and 34. Ruth then approached Boaz regarding her redemption. She's applying Leviticus 25:5-10 and 23-25. Boaz noted that he's not the closest relative, Leviticus 25:27-49, but assured her that he would make arrangements for her redemption. In this time when everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes, Boaz seems to know and is obedient to God, the Lord's commandments. Before we look at the proceedings at the gate, let's consider Ruth 4:18-22. The sons from Judah and Tamar, Ruth 4:12, were Perez, Herzon, Ram, and that reference was just for Judah and Tamar. Perez, Herzon, Ram, Abinadab, Nashon, Solomon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, and then David. This list is repeated in 1 Chronicles 22:4-15, Matthew 1-3, and Luke 3:31-33, with the addition of Edmon between Ram and Abinadab. It appears that the accepted time span of the judges from the death of Joshua to the anointing of Saul was about 350 years. While it's not mentioned in the story, Boaz is a son of Solomon, and Rahab, the harlot that hid the spies from the Israelis, and that's stated in Matthew 1:5. In the first census, in Numbers 1-7, Solomon's father, Nashon, stood with Moses for the counting. In the second census, the names of the heads of the tribes are not given. Caleb was numbered with the tribe of Judah. in Numbers 13:6. And it's further in Joshua 14:6. But he was a Kenizzite. Caleb and Joshua, the reason I'm talking about them, Caleb and Joshua were the only two of the generation that was numbered in the first in the first census that entered into the land of Canaan. Solomon, who would have been less than 60 years old, he had to have been under 20 not to be in the warriors of that first. So this has got to be, he has got to be one of the younger sons of Nashon. The identities of the spies are not revealed, or even the tribes that they came from. When they sent the 12 in the first time, they were all identified. Now that means from Salaam, there are five generations from Solomon to David. Five generations to span 320 years. David with at least three and maybe five siblings under the age of 20, because three of them were in Saul's army, couldn't have been over 14 years old when Solomon anoints him to be the king following Saul. And he is 10, at the time he gets anointed, he's the little one that's out tending the sheep. I have read that Boaz had no wife and that he was an older man, though not, I have never found that in Scripture. It's a tradition. No other siblings are recorded for either Salaam or Boaz. This may have been how Boaz knew that there was no, that there were closer relatives than him to redeem Ruth. I'm not, looking at the time, I'm not going to reread the scripture. Ruth 4, 1 to 2, Boaz, likely a respected elder of the city, going to the gate, which basically a courthouse, gathers the relative and 10 elders or judges as witnesses. That was a full court at the time. This does not seem like a transaction that would take that much, but he calls that full court. And there were likely a number of spectators that they're at the gate as well to be witnesses. And Ruth 4:3. This is the first mention any time in the story that there's a piece of property. If the property had not been sold before the family left for Moab, when Naomi returned, did she have the means to till it or the seed to plant it to have a crop? If Naomi had lived in Moab for 10 years, at least one sabbatical year had passed. But the land didn't revert until the Jubilee year, which would have been 50 if he sold it just before. But it could be redeemed. We're not, because this is not explained. This is just the information we have. Boaz, as a leader in the bloodline of Elimelech, knew if the property could be sold or redeemed. That's based on Leviticus 25, 23 to 28. Could these actions have been an application of Deuteronomy 21 and Exodus 23, 4? Those are scripture where they say, if you find a wandering sheep, whether it be or a wandering ox, whether it be your neighbors or your enemies, you're to return it to him. Ruth has pled with Boaz to be redeemed. She doesn't know, there's no mention of this unnamed individual prior to that. Is the fact that property has he has the right to that property and is may not be aware of it that Boaz is so adamant about having the witnesses tell him or see that he has told him this fact. And if a purchaser, or if you hold property in trust and it disappears, you're liable for it, double. And that's Leviticus 19:11. And not to deal falsely or steal from other individuals. He has presented these facts. Ruth 4, Boaz knew this unnamed individual held a closer claim to the land of Elimelech than he did, giving him the opportunity to purchase the property, stating that he, Boaz, is the only other person holding the right to redeem it. And that individual says he will redeem it. Before we continue on this, let's return to that genealogy again. In Numbers 26:19-22, the tribes of Judah were the Zezerites, the Selemites, the Pezerites, which had two tribes, the Hezronites and Hamulites. Salam was of the tribe of the Hezronites. And as a close kin to Elimelech, Elimelech must have been from that same tribe. There's not enough information given for me to make any closer relationship, but the elders that were present in that court would have said something if this was not true. They knew. Ruth 4 and 5. Or Ruth 4, 5. Boaz is applying Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 10, the marriage of a brother to a wife to raise up an heir. But there are some qualifications that I think should be noted. It was limited to when brothers lived together. That wife would have been familiar with the brother that was going to help her to have an heir, raise up an heir. Ruth was not living with this unnamed individual. The wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. And Ruth's status as an alien, I don't know how that would have affected it, because most of the laws in Israel were stated that they were the same for an alien or a stranger. Ruth may have set aside all of these qualifications by her pleading to be redeemed. Someone more learned than I may debate that. I'm not. But consider the responsibilities that this requires for the person that redeems her. The support of the family, the care of the property, and the training of the heir to be able to tend that property when he comes of age. This is a financial burden that most people wouldn't think about. Ruth 4 to 6. 4, 6 to 8. Because of the reasons not fully explained, the kinsman gives up his right of redemption. I can think of many good reasons he did this, but they'd be guesses. I will mention one. If he had not yet born a son, and Ruth bore him his first son, whether he loved her or not, that oldest son would receive his the first son's inheritance as well as that of Elimelech. That is a legitimate reason he's willing to take, or he's not willing to take that. Ruth 4, 9 to 11a. Boaz redeems Elimelech's land and Ruth before the court and other witnesses. The actions of Boaz show love, compassion, and patience. Boaz put the words he heard into actions. Ruth worked diligently to provide for Naomi. Ruth put herself at his mercy when she pleaded for redemption. And Boaz acted to acquire for her the blessings of the blessings that she requested. He knew when he said it, he might not be the one to do it, but he would make sure that it was accomplished. But these are all things that they were. But in all these things, they were obedient to God's commandments. They were doing what, there are references to what that these things should be done. As a rebellious child, the Lord has graciously convinced me that being obedient always gives a life of greater blessings and liberties, not a restriction of liberty. I ask you to think of the prime example of redemption. Christ paying the debts sinners owe God so that we may come into the presence of God with a clear conscience. Peace with God. And only after we have been redeemed and declared righteous can we perform works that are pleasing to God. They were looking forward to the Redeemer to come. Here we are in a time of the judges when everyone did what was right in their own eyes and there was no king in Israel. Would you not agree that the actions of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz were good works? Westminster Confession of Faith 16:2. Good works done in obedience to God's command are the fruits of a true and lively faith. Confession of Faith 16:3. The ability to do good works is not of themselves, but wholly from the Holy Spirit. There is required an actual influence of that same Holy Spirit. This story shows many actions that reflect the love and care of God for his people. The fact that Israel was chosen by God to be a special possession and that he had a tabernacle with them. The actions recorded in the book of Judges shows that many turned away from serving God and served other gods. But was it not the Holy Spirit working in Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi to do what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord? It had to have been a heart that had been turned from stone to a heart that delighted in serving in submission to God's will. Ruth 4, 11b to 13. The witnesses blessed Boaz with the recollection of the blessings received by their ancestors and recorded in the scriptures that they had. That's the five books. They didn't have judges. That was just the books of the law. The birth of Obed shows God's blessing upon this union. While there are cause and effects for all the actions in the reactions in the story, could you possibly state that God was not guiding all things together for the good of his people? Let us praise the Lord for the actions of Jesus Christ, who brought peace with God through his sacrifice on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories and for the understanding of those stories. This is a family that contained two mothers from outside the nation of Israel, but they declared their submission to you. Help us to be submissive to you in our lives so that we can be as productive and receive the blessings that you desire to give us. Amen.